Jesus was born in Bethlehem, as we read in the scripture here, to a virgin named Mary. Joseph was only Jesus' stepfather. There's not a lot in the Bible about Joseph. If you'll read around and look around, you don't find much more spoken about Joseph. But he was Jesus' stepfather, and he must have raised him pretty good. He worked in his carpenter shop there for 30 years, and was raised up in their house, being an obedient child, but yet there's not much said about him. When Jesus was born, the Bible, if you read over some other passages of scripture, you see that Joseph, being engaged to Mary, thought about putting her away. He could have had her stoned by law. He could have done a number of things, but instead, he is just going to put her away privately and just keep it a secret what had happened, that she had been unfaithful and she had done something she shouldn't ought to have done. But he, being a just man, was going to do that. But you know how the angel of the Lord spoke to him also and told him not to be afraid to take her for his wife, for that thing which was within her was of the Holy Ghost. And so he did what the angel of the Lord told him and did it, I think, joyfully, knowing he was a part of something bigger than himself. And so he did that. But they wrapped Jesus in swaddling clothes and they laid him in a manger because there was no place for them to be housed within the city. In that manger, that scene was not some modern day barn like a Morton building that we would see around here, or a Longreach building, or anything like we like to see. It was more likely than anything, it was a cave that he was in that day, a cold, dark cave. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords came in and began in a very humble situation. But he knew for which he had come, and he knew from why he was here. And so he came to do what he was supposed to do. And he was wrapped in swaddling clothes, strips of cloth, and laid in a manger, a hay manger, someplace where the cattle would eat. The sheep would lay on. Can you imagine how musky that must have felt? How terrible that must have smelled inside that cave with the animals? It wasn't a pleasant sight. I raise animals, so I know what it's like to get inside a place where the cattle have been for a while. It's not pretty. And so anyway, that's where he was raised. But Luke 2:8 says that there was a hillside outside of Bethlehem, and the shepherds were doing their duty. They were doing what shepherds do. They were abiding the sheep and watching the flocks by night, taking care of them and making sure that no wolf came in or no predator got one of those sheep. They were making sure they weren't stolen. They were doing their job. These were a group of men who weren't thought very highly of by society. You think about that for a minute. We think sometimes we have to reach a certain place before we can approach the throne. Have to become a certain type of person before we can be born again. I just want to throw it in. He chose the lowly things, and the foolish things confound the wise. And he chose shepherds to be the first one to receive the announcement of the birth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can you imagine what they must have felt, how good they must have felt about this when they found out they were the ones that he announced the birth to? The Bible says that there was an angel, verse 9, appeared out of nowhere and shone around them, an intense light, probably lit up the sky, probably bigger than the Fire Lake Casino spotlight. You ever seen those? Light up the sky, and you can see them almost all the way to Midwest City there for a while. That one was out there at the Grand Casino, and just light up the sky. Can you imagine what it must have looked like when the angels of the Lord, a great light shone down from heaven right there among them shepherds? I know they were startled. More likely than that, they were afraid. They probably were just like, whoa, what is this? And can you imagine what it must have been like? But that light shone around them and they were terrified that night. But the angel brought good tidings of great joy. And that joy is still for us today. They told him, for unto you today is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It was good tidings. It was not just for those shepherds, but it was for all people, even for us. good tidings of great joy. So they had the opportunity. It was for the whole world. It meant now the light had shone into the lives of the Gentiles. Not just for the Jews, but for everybody now. Not just for the United States of America, but for every nation on the face of the earth. Every tribe, every tongue has opportunity to know Jesus now. Opportunity to go to heaven now. Well, they didn't have it before. We can approach heaven. We can approach the throne of God. And this is a message of joy. Notice that the shepherds are told that Jesus was born to them. It was born for their benefit. He was born for your benefit too. He was born for your benefit, church. If you're not a Christian today or you're living a little bit shallow, he was born for you. Born for your life today. The Bible said he was born in the city of David. David's hometown, Bethlehem, is where Jesus was born. He was born to be a Savior. And that's exactly what he did when he went on the cross to die for sins and for a debt you owed. Can you believe that he died for your sin? That old song, he owed a debt, we owed a debt we could not pay, he paid a debt he did not owe, something like that, that we used to sing, and he paid that debt for you and I, a Savior. Jesus Christ the Lord, a man whose kingdom there would be no end. Look at what the prophet Isaiah said about him over in Isaiah 53. And over there I thought I had it. There it is right there. 53 verse 3 says, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Can you believe that? That's what they crucified him. He gave up his life for you and I. He gave a ransom for you and I. He paid that debt. He didn't know, and they despised him. And I tell you what, men still despise him today. They still reject him today, but here's what it says in verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Hallelujah. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed today. It goes on to say, all we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We have all been sinners, but Jesus died for every sinner. He laid them upon us all, for us all. He died for us. I am so glad for that today. Not just for his healing, where he bore our griefs and he healed us, our sickness and our infirmities, but that he saved us from our sin. Aren't you? The joy of revealing. They revealed to us what Jesus was. He was the promised, anointed one of the Old Testament. And then the shepherds had the joy, the angels had the joy of revealing. The shepherds had the joy of receiving. They got to receive what was given. Can y'all excuse me for a minute? Does this make y'all thirsty? I hate to drink in front of you. But anyway, that probably won't help. It'll help some. Quit speaking negative. The shepherds had the joy of receiving. They decided to do what was the most logical thing when, after they received this news, they decided to go and see this child. So, you know, probably discussed it among themselves, and one of them, they may have been a little bit skeptical. I don't know how you can be skeptical when an angel of the Lord appears to you and this great light shines from heaven and a choir from heaven begins to sing. I don't know how you can be skeptical, but they might have been. They said, let's go see this thing. And they might have been a little bit skeptical, but yet they said, let's go see it. Let's go see this child. But you see, they received the news, and maybe they were a little bit skeptical. Maybe they did discuss it for a little while. The Bible doesn't say it that way, so I'm just supposing. So, but they acted upon what they had heard. They believed what they were told. They may have discussed a little bit. There may have been a little bit of skepticism, but yet they said, okay, let's go see what this angel told us about. Let's go see this child. Let's go see this Savior. Let's go see this one that's going to bring us joy. Let's go see this one that gives peace. This one, let's go see this one that can save us from our sin. Let's go see the one that will deliver us. Let's go see him. So they did. And they found out that it was just exactly like the angels had reported that it would be. You've been told the Christmas story. We're here telling you a little bit about it today. You've heard it. Most all of us have heard it ever since we were little bitty kids. We've heard all about it. Yeah, we've mixed in a little Santa Claus with it. And I think that was just a way for the parents to get us to behave at least a couple of weeks a year. You know? It didn't work. It did work on our half for a while. It worked a little bit. I started about July being nicer than I was in June, working up to it. But, you know, we hear all this stuff. I've heard the story all my life. And I've read it a lot of times during my lifetime. I believe what it says. I believe the Bible's true. These guys went to see what was going on. They received what the angels had told them. I want to ask you today, have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you received Him? Have you trusted Him for forgiveness of your sins? He's your only hope for heaven. There's a lot of people blowing a lot of horns, and there's a lot of people spouting off a lot of stuff right now. There's a lot of people think you can go to heaven in different directions, in different ways, but the Bible says there's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. You can't get there any other way. Look at John 1:12. John chapter 1 verse 12, it says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Do you hear me? As many as receive Him. You've got to receive what the Word of God says concerning Jesus to be born again. To as many as receive Him, He gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on the name of Jesus. No other name by which a man can be saved except the name of Jesus. Romans 5 verse 1 says, "Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." There's no peace outside of Jesus. There's no joy outside of Jesus. There's no reconciliation to God outside of Jesus. There's no remission of sin outside of Jesus. There's no way to heaven outside of Jesus. And these shepherds received the word of Jesus, the notice of Jesus' birth, with joy. And then the shepherds had, and Anna had the joy of reporting the birth of Jesus. They couldn't keep silent. It amazes me. It amazes me about myself. Why I'm more, somebody asked me earlier today, have you witnessed to so-and-so? Have you invited him to church? Well, no. He's just my banker. What a shame, preacher. Jed invited that guy to church. I've tried to work up to it. Why is it you get in front of some people and you get scared? You got the words of life. You're the only one that can offer them hope. And yet you clam up. Don't want to mix business with gospel. I ought to kick myself in the rear right now for that. Holy Spirit's doing a pretty good job of it. I'm serious. I'm convicted of that right now. I've been busy with him for 15 years and not once invited him to church. I visited him about the Lord here recently. I really did. He started asking me some questions, and I was able to answer some of them. But you know, when you're in the office, just a little, they had the joy of receiving, and then they went and told about it. They didn't keep it to themselves. That's like us as Christians. We get saved. Oh, that's all good. And we come in here and have us a good shouting time. We walk out the door and said, "Don't tell nobody. They'll think you're weird." We've got to tell somebody. We've got to tell somebody what Jesus has done for us. They could not keep silent. The Bible says in Luke, second chapter in the 17th and 18th verse, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all they that heard it wondered at these sayings which were told them by the shepherds. Do you not think that those shepherds, these dirty, smelly, low-class shepherds, weren't getting some looks? Weren't getting some people saying, you don't know what you're talking about. You must have lost your mind. But they told it, and the people wondered about it, what they had seen. They could not keep silent. They had seen a miracle. They had seen God's anointed one for themselves. And they did something about it. They reported it. They did it. They were glad to report it. They had the joy of reporting. They had received it. Now they were reporting what they had received and seen. Anna is a very old lady in the Bible. The Bible talks about her, and then some of the commentaries say she's probably around 84 years old. She had been a widow, 7 years. Excuse me, here it is. And 7 years after her marriage, she had been widowed, so she had been widowed for many, many years. And the Bible says she was waiting also to hear about the Savior. She had prayed day and night. If you go over to verses 36 and 38, it says, and there was Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 80. So she wasn't a widow as long as I said. She was a widow for 44 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers day, night, and day. And she came in that instance, give thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spoke of him to all that look for redemption in Jerusalem. Now they had brought Jesus in, and Simeon had seen him. They had been presented in the temple for his dedication and circumcision. And she seen him there and realized that it was the one they'd been looking for. Simeon took him in his arms and said, for mine eyes have seen the salvation which thou hast prepared for the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people of thy people Israel. He had been waiting for the consolation or the comfort of Israel for many, many years, and he had seen it. He now declares, this is what I've waited for. And Anna heard what he said, and she had to go tell what she had heard. She had to report it because she knew what had really happened. She wasn't grumbling about her obligation to share the news with others. She wasn't afraid to share what she had heard about the message that she had heard, and she would go and do what she was asked to do with joy. They were joyful in their experience of sharing about Jesus. You see, we fail to consider witnessing a joy and a pleasure and a privilege, but it is. We're more concerned about what other people might think sometimes. But it's a joy to tell people what's happened to us. We need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It should be a joy to us to tell people the way to get to heaven. I know you're going to meet with controversy sometime, and you may end up with someone who wants to argue with you. Don't argue with them. Tell them the truth. Jesus is the way, he's truth, and he's life. And no man comes to the Father except through him. But you need to have joy in telling them the message that you have received. It should be joy to you to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the 20th verse, now we are ambassadors for Christ. And he was going to say, this is what I've told you. I'm an ambassador. I represent Jesus. You are ambassadors. You represent Jesus. You represent the Most High, only real King. The only real Lord. The real ruler of this world you represent. We send ambassadors around the world from the United States of America, and the other nations send ambassadors here to represent their country, their nation. We represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and to His kingdom there will be no end. A lot of kingdoms have come and gone since the birth of Jesus. The old Roman Empire fell. A lot of people have rose to power, a lot of people have fallen, but Jesus is still King. He's still Lord of Lords, and He's going to establish His kingdom shortly. We have the joy of telling about it now, to be His ambassador, to tell about all He's done for us. Mary had the joy of reflecting. Can you imagine the burden she had to carry this child, being a virgin, never knowing a man, and to be pregnant? Can you imagine the burden she had of carrying that child, the looks that she received? It's not like it is today. A lot of people have children out of wedlock today, and no one thinks much about it. Fact is, we celebrate it. We celebrate the sin with them. Now, preacher, you're going to start meddling, aren't you? No, I'm just telling you that we've called right wrong, and we're calling wrong right. God still expects us to not do those things. It's written in His Word. Am I going to kick you out of the church because you've done it? No. Am I going to try to correct you in it? Yes. Are we going to stop loving you? No. I'm going to love you anyway. But we're not going to condone it. We can't. It's against God's Word. But we love you. We're going to try to encourage you not to do that again. You know, after, I'll better leave that alone. Mary had the joy of reflecting, though. The Bible says in Luke 2:19, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. You know, she had been told what was in her was of God. She knew that she was carrying a Savior, but can you imagine at 15, 17, 18, 19 years of age, whatever she was when she had Jesus, she's very young. Can you imagine how that must have affected her? To be thrust into this role at such a young age, in such a way that brings disgrace? It had to be tough on her, but yet now she's hearing that truly the thing that she carried, this child, is the Son of God. Was and is the Savior. Was and is the Anointed One. The one that the whole world's been waiting for centuries. The one that God promised hundreds of years before. I just gave birth to Him. Can you imagine what had to be running through this young lady's mind? It had to be something. She thought on all these events of Christmas, and she pondered them, she remembered them. Fact is, probably, very likely, or the account, Luke's account of the Christmas story, the story we just read to you, probably came from Mary herself. She probably told him this story so he could write it down and share it with us. Someone had to be an eyewitness account. So she probably told this story, how it came to pass. Can you imagine many years later how she pondered it year after year after year, these things that had happened to her and how her son was raised up? Can you imagine how she must have felt too when he went to the cross? I think a good depiction of that on the movie screen was the Passion of Christ. Many of you saw that movie, and it was tough to watch. But I think it gave a more true depiction of what Christ went through and the agony of His mother and His whole family than anything I've ever saw. First movie I'd seen in 20 years. And wow. Can you imagine what she must have pondered then? But yet she knew that her boy born to be Savior. He was born to die for our sins. Mark Lowry wrote one of the most beautiful tributes, I think, to Mary, and a Christmas song. I love it probably as much as any modern song I know on Christmas. It's called Mary, Did You Know? Mary, Did You Know? It's a beautiful song that he wrote. Can you imagine how she must have reflected during that time? But I'm going to tell you something. The more you reflect on this Christmas story, the more joy you will have thinking about our Savior. And then the wise men, we'll end up with this one. I can't believe I got finished, but I didn't take too many. What one guy told me one time, Brother Stone, said, you're a pretty good preacher until you get on those rabbit trails. And the reason that that particular rabbit trail was that time I said something about him, his wife smoking, and I wasn't speaking to her personally. I was just talking about tobacco use, and it offended them. And he said, you got on that rabbit trail, and I don't like it. That's just one of them. I see what it does to people, and sometimes I say something about it, but I haven't in a long time. I've left that alone. By the way, if you smoke today or use tobacco, we still love you. Just wish you'd quit. So I think it's bad for your health. I know it is. Science will show you that it's bad for your health. And I'll just be very honest with you. That contributed to my dad's death. My dad died of throat cancer, stomach cancer at 69 years of old because he wouldn't quit smoking. So don't you can't talk to me about it. I don't like it. It killed my dad early. So that's where I'm at. So just so you know where I'm coming from, I love you to death, man. I really do, whoever you are. They had the joy of bringing gifts or reciprocating this good news that they had heard. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and I won't go over there and read it, tells the story of the wise men who come to visit Jesus. And we sing that song, We Three Kings of Orient Are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. And we sang that, calling three wise men or three kings. And they were the mystical men of the East that bore gifts, and don't know that they were kings, but they were considered probably wise men of that time. And they brought gifts in appreciation to the King of Jews, the Jews. They brought four gifts. I know some of you are thinking, four? There's only three kings. Yes, they brought four. They brought not only gold, frankincense, and myrrh, they brought the gift of worship. They came and worshiped him. The Bible says in Matthew 2:11, they fell down and worshiped him. They brought the gift of worship. They brought these gifts, very costly things that they gave to Jesus, but they also brought what was priceless, their worship. They bowed at the feet or at the crib of Jesus. More likely than not, it was several months out from his birth when they finally got there. He is already, because right after that, if you'll read the story, Herod sent out word to have all the babies from 2 years old and under killed in that area. Isn't that tragic? So tragic. But they worshiped the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that was the best gift of all. Can I suggest to you that's the best gift you could give him today, outside of giving him your life, is to give him your worship. And to worship him in spirit and in truth, to worship him with all of your heart, not just part of it, to give him everything you've got, to show your appreciation for Jesus, the King of Kings. You can never fully give what you owe for all he's done for you. But there's some things you can do. You can joyfully take time to worship. You can joyfully help someone in need. You can joyfully continue to support his church and his missionaries. There's things you can do to show your worship and joyfully serve him. We all should serve him. He's the King and he's the Lord of our lives. So Christmas is a time of joy. I know I throwed a wet blanket over some of it a while ago, but get past that and just move on to the joy of the Lord. which is our strength. Over in Isaiah, the 12th chapter, it says, therefore, with joy, you shall drink water out of the wells of salvation. When a person gets saved, joy floods your heart. The song we sing, this joy that I've got, what's it? This joy that I got. The world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Jesus gave me this joy. And so today, as we start, we're in the season of Christmas, let's remember to be joyful and worship Him with all of our hearts. You see, the angels had the joy of the revealing. The shepherds had the joy of receiving. The shepherds and Anna had the joy of telling and reporting, and Mary had the joy of reflecting upon what all had happened to her, and the wise men had the joy of giving. We can have all those joys. I don't know about you, but I reflect every now and then upon the goodness of the Lord. There's another old song, a song fairly new. It says, when I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, then I just want to thank Him and praise Him. It's not exactly how the song goes, but you get the point. When I think about, when I reflect upon the Lord, it makes me want to shout, makes me want to cry, makes me want to worship Him because He's King and He's Lord of my life. Amen. Well, would you stand with me?